I can't really play the guitar very well, or sing, so, you know, apologies.
All right, welcome back to Two Song Podcast. This is Chris.
And this is Cam.
And this is a show where we try to sort every song ever into one of two categories, either a love song
or a fight song.
Yep, exactly right. And this is episode 132 of our show.
Yeah, it is. And not so musical intro that you just heard is for one of the best songs, I think, on Bo Burnham's Inside from 2021.
Mm-hmm. That funny feeling.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. Yeah. So yeah, Happy New Year's, and like, hope everybody had a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or any of the other ones or none of them. But I don't know why, but this song makes me think of this time of year.
Mm. Yeah, like specifically New Year's or between Christmas and New Year's,
mm-hmm.
first of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. It definitely does for me too.
And it came out, this whole album and especially everything came out in June of 2021, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I was trying to like figure out why there is a connection. But there definitely is. I think we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Eventually.
This reminds me of the Hanukkah song though. Like that intro, are those lyrics? Is that just
right.
like a preamble to the song, like a pre-intro.
Yeah. Who's to say?
Yeah, that's tricky. But he does give a little disclaimer, then he starts playing. And we talked about this when the special and album were new. This is one of his, to me, better performances vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And because to me, he's a pretty good singer. He kind of sings like a theater kid or a kid that took piano lessons for years and then learned to sing. Like,
yeah.
just to go with the piano, but just being a fan pretty much his whole career, this is also one of the most tame and guitar-focused performances ever. He used to be really, he just had his own style of playing guitar, and to me this, I don't know, it reminds me a lot of, like, John Denver or James Taylor or something.
Ooh, cool.
And, yeah, just, I like it. I mean, there are, like, some parts where it's like, well, he's maybe obviously not a guitar player, more than any other instrument, but I mean, it still sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, you know, it seems kind of ironic for him to put that up front because he does such an awesome performance on both.
Mm-hmm.
But he really might not think he's like anything special on either. I'm sure he thinks of himself as a comic first,
mm-hmm.
a funny person.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think so. Wow, that's crazy. Man, well, I like the song. It's, to me, it's weird, like, what we're about to hear is the first verse, and then there are verses that seems like the two verses, they just roll together, and there's another two verses that just roll together.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is like a half verse, or if it is a first verse, and two and three are just grouped together, but like anything with Bo Burnham, the prose, because it's not all lyrics, is what you come for, and it makes you think, and you listen to it, and you relate to it, or you... one thing he loves to do is make you think you're going to relate to it, and then surprise, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And nonsense. Just like so fun and enjoyable. And we've done another Bo Burnham song off of this album in the special.
Welcome to the Internet?
Yeah. As I like to call it, Because of the Internet. But it really is Welcome to the Internet. But I don't know, those two, like, honestly, I don't know how they're linked. Just, the internet, I guess. That's not a good enough link. I get them confused.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, should we jump in and hear this first verse?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Starting 8K resolution meditation app. In honor of the revolution, it's half off at the gap. Deadpool self-awareness, loving parents, harmless fun. The backlash to the backlash to the thing that's just begun.
Man.
I know his voice is like sweeter and smoother than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And less theatrical.
Yeah, almost like he realized for a song like this, it was appropriate to be a folk singer or near a folk singer.
Yeah, like, certainly. Or that's kind of what he's even parodying.
Mm-hmm. I would say. He does a similar thing with Pandarin. It seems like in a country accent.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I wonder about this song. I think about it a lot because I just like it so much. I like how simple it is, and I like how sparse it is, that nothing's really that connected.
Mm.
And I like to think about the ways that as a songwriter it is connected to him. Like, how did he get where he, to the finished product? And I think the thing that I like about the first person, the thing I convinced myself of, is that those are things that make, that give him the funny feeling.
Mm.
Like this first verse,
cool.
He's just setting the scene for the whole song, giving us the tone of the song, musically and thematically. Like, you know, like some people openly don't like Ryan Reynolds or don't think he's funny, or some people think that Deadpool is like so pure and so good and it doesn't even mess with the comic books. Don't make him into the movies. Don't make Deadpool merch and stuff, like you're missing the point or whatever. And a very similar thing to like a meditation app being in the highest resolution available. It's like, I could just see, again, being a fan and following his career, that these are things that he just goes, I don't know why, but this little list of things gives me the same feeling.
Yeah. Man, that's, I think you're right, and they're all over the place too, so it's really cool that they could be connected in that way. And also, I hadn't thought of Stunning 8K Resolution and Meditation App as one thing.
Mm.
I thought they were separate, two separate items on this list. And that just kind of thinking about how, like at a certain point, our human eyes can't even really distinguish between how small the pixels are, how many pixels there are in each little inch of the TV, or like the frame rate, like our eyes can't even really keep up with monitors at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so just stunning 8K resolution by itself is kind of absurd. And just kind of being marketed when maybe it shouldn't be, or you know, pushed for no reason.
Yeah.
And then I think meditation app kind of is too in itself like this like weird idea, like counterintuitive. Bo has talked a lot about like how he thinks the way that we're doing things attributes to like mental health, so I definitely like look at these lyrics through his lens and could see just like a meditation app being ironic that like, hey, we made this app to fix you and all your problems.
Yeah,
please pay us this much a month.
Yeah, because the purpose of the phone now, the cell phone, the mobile phone, is so you're always with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you used to bolt the phone to the wall. Now you're lame, and you're like probably a serial killer if you haven't got a smartphone and like a smart, like, you know, wearable phone.
Yeah.
Like, what? And so yeah, I kind of agree with that. They're like, you need to meditate and put your phone away and not look at your phone. Well, how do I do that? Step one. Log into the app.
Yeah, have
so,
a phone.
Yeah.
pay for it in that.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes really hard on this special, specifically about the internet and smartphones and cell phones and blue light and stuff. And I think I agree with him, but I also think it's more complicated than that. I think that we were already that way, the phones and the Internet 2 and Internet 3, Web 3, whatever, just amplify it.
Mm-hmm.
They just make it easier and they make it like, well, everyone else is doing it, why can't we?
Yeah, certainly, yeah. I think people have always had most of the same problems that we currently have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've alluded to it and set up pretty nicely. Should we get to the chorus?
Yeah, let's do it.
There it is again, that funny feeling, that funny feeling. There it is again, that funny feeling, that funny feeling.
I like how delicate the chorus is and how, like you said, his voice is less theatrical and more sweet. It's like a familiarity with this discomfort.
Well,
you know, like some people don't trust happiness and don't trust a good time or a good day or a healthy relationship. They're like, I just know there's a catch, or I just know that, you know, whatever. And I think it's funny to, and it's Bo Burnham, so you need to, in my opinion, look at it with, like, where's the funny or when's the funny coming.
Yeah.
But it's funny to me to play guitar this way and have the campfire crackling in the background, and then list these things that, like, kind of take you out of the song, because there's such real images, there's such touchstone images, and then come the chorus, it's like, well, I thought I was understanding, and now you're, like, talking about a feeling, but you like having that feeling, you know?
Yeah, like, that's what this song is about. So sweetly written.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this weird, like, paradox of feelings that he's, like, conveying in this, like you said, familiar discomfort, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I think most people, a lot of people, got just, like, way too close to or way too familiar with, and because of COVID and from having to, like, stay home away from everyone.
Yeah. And got used to being, like, cramped or, you know, I mean, the concept behind this album was essentially that he lived this album, that he didn't leave the room, really, that he made it in and recorded it in. And obviously there's some editing, I'm not trying to say it's like some kind of art film where a man was locked in a room for 180 days or whatever, that he couldn't leave, but you get that feeling, and you get like a claustrophobic feeling, and you get a bit of like a worry, you're like, gosh. But a lot of that is contrived, a lot of that is staged.
Yeah.
And I think a part of his brilliance is you think you know which parts are, but you never can, you can't tell.
Right.
So yeah, I think you're right, like, he was saying, I don't know, kind of maybe what we already said, but it bears repeating, that you had this feeling, and you're discomforted by it. Now you have another feeling, you're discomforted by it. You know, like, you're worried about what's going on right now, this, you know, 6 months, this year, this season, but I'm trying to zoom out and say, we should all be uncomfortable with where things are headed, where our culture is decaying, you know? Which is like, dang, all right now, will you relax?
Yeah.
Do you learn about country music or do something like that? That's too much.
Right. Yeah, so he's doing a lot with these, like, very, it's hard to describe these lists, but these very, like, accurate representations of where our culture is headed, to say that in way too many words.
Yeah.
But then we get a double chorus of them, I guess. Do we hear
double verse?
Double verse, yes.
Surgeon General's pop-up shop, Robert Iger's face. Discount at the agitprop, bugles take on race. Female Colonel Sanders, easy answer, Civil War. The whole world at your fingertips, the ocean at your door.
I like this one because I And yeah, these, we're just interpreting these, but we don't know, no one knows really. But I like to think of, if this is a double verse, the first verse or the first half verse being things that are like politically driven and things that the person holding them up or pushing them out knows is going to anger people. Like, all of those things so far, in, like I said, the first verse, the first half verse, let's just call it verse 3. And all the things in verse 3, to me, are like, you can kind of see like one side to them. And anything that is one-sided, therefore, is like a springboard for being two-sided. I know that's like a, that's stupid to, like, that may be obvious to say, but if you say, I'm all about this, then, you know, politically opposed people go, see, they're all about that, which means they're not about these things, you know, it's ridiculous. But,
yeah.
And then I think that maybe verse 4 is things that, this is just me, but maybe things that we all go, it doesn't really matter who you are, we're all sick of pretending we like these things. We're all absolutely fed up with it, but we don't say it.
Yeah. So cool that you, like, categorize each of these verses. Like you said, trying to figure out how he wrote each one.
Thank you. Just guessing.
And I think I've heard Bo talk about like late night television and how absurd it is to just like watch the people that we already watch in movies just like doing silly things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of him being like, really, y'all, this is entertainment? Like, this is what y'all want?
Yeah, he ripped that lip sync battle. Is that what?
Yeah.
He was like, it's the same celebrities we already see too much of. Not even singing the same songs we've already heard too many times. He's like, and it's always a pretty white girl. Oh, guess what she's going to do? Gangster rap. And it's always some big, tough movie star hunk doing like a pop princess song. It's the most predictable, absurd, insulting. Like, I guess I'm putting words in his mouth, but he just said things to that nature. Like, you know, you think so little of us that you're like, here, idiots. Here, dummies, look at this.
Right. Yeah, and then carpool karaoke, I feel, is really similar to that. Like, what do regular people do? Drive around in their cars. Let's have these not regular people do regular people stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. One of my favorite comedians, it's not Bo Burnham, but he makes the list, said that he said a similar thing. I don't know if he listens to Bo Burnham or is a fan, but he was like, it's all the same stuff. Like Jimmy Fallon and Post Malone will go to Olive Garden. What's the joke? That it's good? Or they'll take Cardi B somewhere and try to teach her how to read. It's like, you know, he's like, I mean, you can turn on the show and Jimmy Fallon's getting a pie in the face from the Muppets. What's going on?
Yeah.
But to me, thinking about, you know, like the way our government's so involved in our health, but not really, you know? The Surgeon General is like, don't do this, please. But like, you have to, because we don't want to bring this up, we got to raise taxes on it. We got to make more money off it, but don't do it. But if you do, yes. And then, you know, I don't know what he has against Disney, but the CEO of Disney just hates that guy, doesn't like his face. You know, communist and propagandist sons crap on Etsy. Just so interesting to me that it's like, all this stuff we can do without, and it's just outraging people. Like, in the conclusion, to me, female Colonel Sanders, easy answer, Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny that he's making fun of everyone in one lyric. Like,
yeah.
You can see why people are outraged, because people are stupid. And Colonel Sanders is stupid. Not the man, but the mascot.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a real colonel. I don't think KFC even stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. It's just, like, wild.
Yeah.
And I don't think he even was from Kentucky. Like, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Somebody got, yeah, he was. You killed yourself, obviously. But whatever. it was just so funny to me that he's like, guess what? Another Civil War. Because, why not? Reba's Colonel Sanders, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and to put that in with all this, like you said, all this stuff that, so, like, that divisive and,
yeah, good word.
Also kind of pointless.
Yeah, thank you. Those are the two things I was trying to always say, hey, do this or don't do this. So I said to a coworker and a friend of mine one time, like, the government doesn't actually care if we wear our seatbelts. And by the way, I don't know that they should, but I just mean that you know how people who have a drinking problem, how they have to start their car with the little thing you blow into. If the government really cared, and I don't want this, but we would be able to start our cars until we click, until you buckled. So I'm like, the government just picks and chooses willy-nilly all these things that they obsess over. And a lot of it, who asked for it? No one needs it. So yeah, I like that you said they're divisive yet pointless. Yeah, of course. But how about the things in WorldCom verse 4? Just so, I mean, that verse makes me laugh almost every time. But the live-action Lion King in the Pepsi halftime show.
I know.
Okay.
I did like the live-action Lion King, though.
Oh, well. I apologize. But then, how about those three things that all have the exact same, like, cadence? And Carpool Karaoke, Steve Aoki, Logan Paul. So good. Mm-hmm. I think Logan Paul is... I was thinking about this while we were playing that verse. If you could take Guy Fieri and not John Krasinski, but specifically Jim Halpert from The Office, and stir them into two people, like the impulsive episodes I've watched, he'll like say something zany and look directly into the camera and be like, see, I'm just wild like that, everybody. I'm just funny. And you're like, you're not really, I mean, what? You know, you're just famous for being famous.
Yeah, I think it's best to end that line on him because he's like the characterization, the like real life version of all of this, I think.
I think so too, yeah. Ooh, that's right. Just things that we as a culture should probably like toss in the bin. Just go, donate this, you know, throw this away, but we don't. We're all just like, what's he gonna do now? And fight two guys at one time? That's something. That's how you know you had an easy childhood. You go, dang, dude, I'm in shape. I'm rich. I'm famous. Mansions. You know, Florida, California, Puerto Rico. Cars, women, the boys. I need concussions. That's how you know that you mean, oh, gosh. But all that to say, is divisive as some stuff is, as stupid as some stuff is, he does that thing where he always makes it poignant and like hard to swallow. And the gift shop at the gun range, the mass shooting at the mall, those are things that's like, yeah, we should all maybe kind of be like, oh yeah, we don't like that. Oh, let's be done with that now.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets very real very quickly after the line that ends with Logan Paul.
Yeah, it does.
And it's almost like he's saying, like, you see how there's some confusion that he's saying that, like, you know, you put a gift shop in the gun thing.
Yeah. Huh, yeah. That's funny. And even if it's, like, just a lyric, not a fully fleshed out idea, it is interesting that it rhymes so perfectly with the line before it, and there's so much symmetry.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Because gun range just ought to be able to make money some other way. Like, I don't know, imagine being a, like, doing merch at a gun range.
And, like, social media and stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, there's that one in, outside of LA somewhere where a lot of, like, celebrities go, and they do target practice, and it's like a big thing, they always post about it. I'll admit, I've never seen Bo Burnham at something like that.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people.
I've never seen this. Is that like videos?
Yeah,
YouTube.
Mm-hmm. It looks insane. It, like, from the perspective that they always film it from, it looks like there's targets everywhere, and the camera, the viewer to me, can't distinguish them. It's just like browns and rusts and metals and stuff. And just like, what? How do you know what you're even aiming for? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would do it. I would go and do the seminar on safety and then do it. But yeah, it is odd to be like, you know, like you said, they can sell bullets or they could charge to let people go, but then also they're like, yo, and also wear our shirts around town.
Yeah.
Ah, yikes. Well, we could get back to the chorus.
Yeah, that's it.
Really sure if the audio recording, the video recording, are the same tape.
Mm. I can see him being really good at making that unclear, like just being able to kind of mime or line up the tape with a more refined audio.
Yeah. Tape. But then again, his roots are doing stuff all in one tape.
Yeah.
And it appears. At least the performance, like the video, is one take. You know, it's that very, very slow zoom. You're not sure it's zooming at first.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's awesome. And yeah, I would think you don't want too much going on if you're gonna do it all in one take.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. I like the way the chords are so simple. The first half of each verse, they change for the second half of the verse, and then the chorus is totally different. Chords, but they're all like right there in that same neighborhood.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you feel like a totally different, you're not like transported to the chorus. It just kind of goes seamlessly from the end of the verse to the chorus.
Right, but it's not just like using the same chords.
Mm-hmm.
The same order of chords.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think he's always been a good songwriter. And now it's just better than he's ever been at it.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Yeah, I'm worried. I know he's, especially he's one of a kind, he might be the G word. You see the G word on here sometimes, but he very well could be a genius at the thing he's, you know, devoted his life to, but I just sometimes, like there have been, I don't know anything. His last two full specials, like they were recorded live with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they were done and being like, how is he going to top that?
Yeah.
Like the one, it was, I think it was What, where he did the, where he mimed, like he was playing a sampler on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He like reached different parts and then they all said something. Then he remixed them,
yeah.
But live, he's like punching different areas and pointing different places. And then the next one made funny was the Kanye rant.
Yeah, with the auto-tune.
Yeah.
I think it's Make Happy, though.
Maybe it is Make Happy, yeah. Yeah, I love it. Words, words, words. What?
Mm-hmm.
Make happy?
Inside.
Yeah, make happy, and then inside. And to me, inside, I'm like, well, are you done? I mean, because I'm just wondering, how do you top something like that?
I know, I thought he was, kind of done with this kind of thing. I think he did too. After Make Happy,
mm-hmm.
He even kind of leaves it as if he's like walking away from the keyboard.
Yeah, he does.
So I thought he would just kind of work on making movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Eighth Grade is great, and that would be cool to just, you know, work with people and make movies. They seem to love it, but I also want another show. Like, it's so much to ask from this guy who's being like, who's trying to make all these points about how we lift up people exactly like him. So it's a high expectation. But.
Yeah. I wonder if he is one of the celebrities that feels like kind of a hypocrite at times. Like, you know, my fans like me because I'm not vapid and I don't take 100 plus selfies a day, and I'm not showing off my body, and the older I get, the more work I have done, the lower the neckline. I'm not one of those kind of celebrities who are just like on reality TV threatening to fight somebody. I'm like a real talent? And then does he feel bad thinking that? Mm-hmm. And does he feel like, oh man, that's probably what a lot of people think. I shouldn't think that. Cause,
yeah.
You know, I'm very privileged to be where I am.
Right.
Reading Pornhub's terms of service, going for a drive, and obeying all the traffic laws in Grand Theft Auto 5. Full agoraphobic, losing focus, cover blown. A book on getting better, hand delivered by a drone. Total disassociation, fully out your mind. Googling derealization, hating what you find. That on a parent summer air in early fall. The quiet comprehending of the ending of it all.
Yeah.
That verse to me is just not nearly as fun. I mean, I think that's obvious because like the topic's in it, but also they're not like linked in, plugged in and hooked to like a Bo Burnham like verse or piece could be, because he talks about stuff like this often and it doesn't feel like this. Like he can usually make it funny and or fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he purposefully didn't want this part to be fun.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
So that could be what connects all of these things together.
Yeah.
But there is some separation too in the first part and in the second part, I think. Like the first part feels mostly like things to like pass the time. I think about this going for a drive and obeying the traffic laws in Grand Theft Auto 5 line a lot. Cause you know, going for a drive kind of like takes him out of his like trapped in a room, energy. Mm-hmm. But he could just be talking about in Grand Theft Auto 5, and probably is. But I know that like going for a drive is relaxing for me in a way that like playing video games isn't, and that both are good for passing time.
Mm.
You know, if you are supposed to be quarantined.
Gotcha. Yeah, so you're saying they could be read like in parallel, they could be read as an idea and another idea, or one idea.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which.
Yeah, because most things have been contained in a line, and this thing is two things, but I think, to me, they're obviously one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going for a drive and obeying all the traffic laws.
Yeah.
But it could just be a list, you know? It could be this thing, and this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a wild reading what you're saying, but to me it connects with the first part of that verse. Like I joked earlier, if you don't have like a smartphone and a wearable and another thing and like, you know, the voice command things at your house, that there's something wrong with you by today's standards. Mm-hmm. Like these are like personality tests. Like do you even know where to find the terms of service? Have you ever for more than 10 seconds to see what it's like to be funny obey the traffic laws in Grand Theft Auto 5, you know? I don't know. I like those two things, and I like the way he sings them. And then it just, I don't know. Because to me, they're not related to agoraphobic, losing focus, cover blown. They're just, those are just, I don't know, other things that, I guess he was thinking about, other things that tie into Inside. Maybe the album.
Yeah, and then a book on getting better, hand delivered by a drone, is kind of another example. Like, a meditation app, you know, and just like probably a very real example, you know, it's probably. you know, there's, I don't think there's drones around here delivering packages, but there are parts of the country where drones are already delivering packages.
And, yeah.
And books and ironic books and mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this verse is a lot sadder and kind of reminds me because he gives us like some dictionary terms of like gerunds, mm. Which I think we mentioned Bo Burnham when we did the gerunds episode.
I think you're right. Yeah, I know. I was kind of thinking that same thing, like derealization. Like, all right, dude, we settle down. But there's some things he talks about. He says that and dissociation, I'm pretty sure, and problematic, another song on this album. So he really, and I like that. I truly like when an album is like has callbacks and motifs, and you go through an album and you're like, I think pretty sure I just heard that in another song, blah, blah, oh, blah. Because, yeah. I don't know, that's neat, and that's how a lot of things are. Like if a movie did that, you wouldn't think anything of it. Mm. You'd be like, yup, movie. This is all here. You know, or if a show did that. And by the way, if a show is like previously on and they show you something from last season or six episodes ago, it's like, oh, I wonder if they show me that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of stuff is cool, you know, as a fan to be like, oh, there's that vocabulary word again. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a lot of connecting this album to itself.
Yeah, he did.
That I really enjoyed.
Yeah, he did. Big time. Yeah, man. Me too.
And then this verse ends with the quiet comprehending of the ending of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some interesting lyrics that suggest like stuff like that. The unapparent air, the unapparent summer air and early fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the verse ago, whichever, the whole world at your fingertips, ocean at your door, that kind of stuff. It's mm-hmm. like, which is interesting. To think like there's some people are really focused, like really pigeonholed, like my one thing is climate change, or my one thing is overpopulation, or my one thing is food crisis or water crisis. But he's just mm-hmm. like, it's, you know, we don't have that much longer, 7 years to go or whatever, and then the ocean's coming in, then the
right.
quiet comprehending of the ending of it all. Man, it's just, it's interesting. And I think, again, like, I wonder if he feels hypocritical, being like, this, like, empire's over or whatever.
Mm.
And then also, like, the time of people being paid lots of money to entertain people, that whole thing is a job, that's pathetic. Our culture's doomed, but also like,
yeah, also please clap,
yeah.
And you know, buy this on vinyl and DVD.
I don't know. Well, are we back to the chorus already?
Yeah, we are.
Nice.
Let's hear it.
There it is again, that funny feeling.
It's such a good chorus. Like, I like the melody. I like how gentle it is and how the feeling each, like, gosh, the third, that funny feeling. No, the second, that funny feeling, and the fourth, that funny feeling. Like, have that neat little like step down,
mm-hmm.
the neat little run down. Yeah, it's just a fun one to sing, and it's not, like you said, it's not super theatrical like some of his other stuff, so you feel like it's just a like easy strumming, easy singing kind of song.
Yeah from all the complicated stuff that he does on this album and in all of his music, and just as a piano player watching Inside, this is the one that I was like, I wonder if I could play that. And you know, kind of learned a version of it just because I wanted to like sing it, which kind of brings up an interesting idea. You know, he's never really done like a musical tour where he'll like play his hits or anything. It's always like a special that's unique that I imagine he tours. But I just had an image of like him doing this song live and, you know, people singing along to it.
Oh yeah, whoa. Wait, who's the singer-songwriter that covered this song after it came out?
Phoebe Bridgers.
Did you see where they might be rumored to be dating?
Whoa, no. I saw he like went and saw it live. Saw her sing his song live.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
Cool. Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird, surreal thing. It was not a good seat. There's just like a dude videoing it, and the dude like shows Bo Burnham. He's like enjoying it. He's like a little bit like taking it in. Like, oh, that's that's a good, because right there is, oh, that's nice. And then, but again, they were like at the back of wherever they were. Yeah. So far away, it was very odd.
I know. I wonder if he like had to be kind of discreet or incognito or something. And also, it kind of seemed like he didn't really appreciate being filmed. Like, he was just like, yeah, didn't know what to do.
A little bit, yeah. But that is odd. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is my own bias, but is he a bigger star than her? Couldn't he just like slink up to the side door?
Yeah.
And then people be like, yes? You recognize me? Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Whatever, but in typical Bo Burnham thing, I think he has a love-hate relationship with pop music or melodies or just like the magic of music. Mm-hmm. And so he loves to do things that are like in Pandering, which I mentioned too many times now. He says he asks if the audience wants a key change, you know?
Yeah,
because he knows that has an effect on, like, we're mammals, so we go, ooh, different energy, or repeat stuff. He knows, like, like, love songs are pointless and vague and corny and nondescript, and then if you can't figure it out, just repeat stuff. And to me, the outro of this is like that. It's like, it's catchy, it's fun, it's even more so like sing-along kind of, but it is like he always does, is like, I don't know, like demented almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know? It's really, I don't know, that's the fun of it to me and the beauty of it to me.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, you, yeah, man, I don't know. I realize that I'm sick, actually. Like, I talk about examples where someone mistakes a song for one thing, and the songwriter is making fun of you, the audience member. Yeah.
Kind of purposely tricking you.
Yeah, and that's what this is, and that's maybe why I like it.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what this outro is, and it's about a minute long, but let's hear it.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Hey, what can you say? We were overdue, but it'll be over soon. You wait. Hey, what can you say? We were overdue, but it'll be over soon. Just wait. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
Yeah, no, that the outro is what makes me really think this is a parody of this kind of music. But it's so interesting to do, it's kind of like a Weird Al thing to do a parody, but just like do a really good song at the same time.
Yep, you're right.
Because it sounds so good, but he starts to really kind of ham it up with the ba-dums, ba-dum, ba-dums, and the yes.
And he does that thing too where he gets bored of singing his own melody.
Yeah,
you know, there's one special, I can't remember which one, where he really resents having, like you said, toured it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell in the recording he phones it in. He'll like leer at the crowd and he'll like monotone across a whole line.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think one of these is But it'll be over, one of the "but it'll be over soon, you wait" is like that.
Mm-hmm.
The same note the whole time, and he like almost does the thing where he like run out of breath, but he does it like kind of on purpose.
Yeah, it's almost like he's making fun of himself.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he is the kind of person that's so like twisted and insecure in his own head that it's like if he does it, he's like, "Is it funny?" And it's like, "Yeah, but it's funnier to be serious when you do it." Like, yeah, I know, because then you're like outside of yourself and you get to enjoy how funny it is that somebody did that and they were serious.
Yeah.
And then he can't do it. He can't, like, he has to make fun of himself. Yeah, but yeah, I like the outro. It's cool to me that it's a minute and that it fades out and trails off.
Yeah, I know. It's the slow fade.
Mm-hmm. And he says, like, you know, all these things, like, this is the case for we're overdue. Like, we allowed all these things, encouraged, lauded, and applauded these things, and then mm-hmm. we're like, you know, whatever happens. I mean, it's like,
yeah, but it'll be over soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a theme that I notice a lot, I think, in the content I consume, is just like, hey, we're on the way downhill. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, enjoy one last grift before the end, or get everything you can, you know, while the empire is being sliced up.
Mm. Yeah.
And by the way, I hope I'm wrong, but I just, it's tough. Like I said, maybe my worldview's shifted or skewed because of that kind of stuff, but I'm like, wow, there's some of these people make really good points.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, this one was my pick because I just like this, and to me it's the perfect last song of the year and the last song of like a weird cobbled together holiday series.
Yeah.
And to me, even though this song is, or this whole special is kind of about 2020 and 2021,
mm-hmm.
it's, I mean, do we think things have gotten better? Like, it's still in a lot of ways describes where we're at now.
Yeah,
about absolutely. To be 2023.
Yeah, it almost feels like more plastic and phony as like television and media like normalizes or gets closer back to what it was before they were having to all record in separate rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like now we can see what you were doing, and we're still going to watch, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot. But you picked the songs. Do you want to pick who goes first, or do you want to go first?
Gosh, I think, yeah, why don't you go first, if you're ready.
Yeah. So it's obviously, like, just him and guitar. Seems like one guitar take. And a crackling fire. So it appears to be a ballad. It's very soft, both his voice and like a very clean guitar, acoustic guitar, you know, kind of slow, folky strumming. But he's addressing, like, I think some of the, like, mental issues that he and other people deal with, and he's addressing how kind of phony entertainment has become, and how so many people buy into that phoniness. And of course, you know, this whole album is about you know, kind of being quarantined in a pandemic era. So all of that stuff is kind of put under the magnifying glass. Like, it was all we had was to sit at home and consume. You know, we could choose to put on Jimmy Fallon or watch Logan Paul's YouTube videos, or, you know, read good literature and learn an instrument. And we all, you know, made those decisions, you know, without much judgment or in other people's outside perspective, and so he has this like Deadpool self-awareness of himself, and probably the fact that him singing about this is all ironic because us watching his inside Netflix special like pays his bills. So all that mental struggle and his issues with kind of phony Hollywood nonsense, and I think a correlation between those two things that he's trying to make, for me, makes it about, it makes it a struggle that he has internally that he thinks is kind of a product of the time, in the way that all this is kind of created, and there's endless options for it, just to kind of keep us with our heads down. So because of all that the charged ideas and divisive things that he mentions, and kind of making light of how pointless some of those divisive things are, it's kind of a protest song, kind of speaking against this kind of consumption, and I don't know, letting them like keep our heads down. So I think he's using this parody to make it seem like a sweet ballad that sounds really good and kind of makes you feel contemplative and almost nostalgic, even though he's mentioning very modern things. But he's kind of made a protest song under the guise of like a sweet folk song. So I think it's a fight song.
Whoa, okay, cool. Dang, yeah, maybe I tipped my hand earlier, on accident, or I didn't mean to. I was just kind of like thinking through it or trying to review it, but I definitely take all that in. Like, I consider those things, like why he would do it and it'd be sarcastic, and why there'd be some little things I said about the first verse that take you out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in the song and then you're like, did he just say, that's weird. Like Robert Iger's face. It's just like so strange.
Mm-hmm.
Or like stuff in the first verse, like the meditation app and it's half off at the Gap and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Huh? Like, I thought we were at a campfire and now we're talking like commerce. You know? Yeah. By the way, when's the last time you went to the Gap? And just with stuff like that, you know, it gets you like thinking about other stuff.
Who goes there anymore?
Yeah, poor Gap. I was thinking, like, in a way, what I said about the chorus might be true, that it's like a, wouldn't you almost rather like know that it was ending and know that you were one of the smart ones, you know? And would you, like, would you rather be a smart, aware, critical person, or just like a hot idiot? The like old thing, like, would you rather, if you could pick? And my decision was made for me, unfortunately, but no, I'm kidding. But, and a lot of us, it was made for us. But what I think there's something to it, like, there it is again, that funny feeling, the way he's so delicately approaches those lyrics, and just he doesn't say one way or the other. He does call the feeling funny, but he just, like, there it is, like a familiarity, like noted, or I notice it, or I am addressing it. Maybe it's like a little bit of like a therapy tactic or something, to be like, there's that feeling, I'm feeling that feeling. You know, I don't know much about that, but I'm just saying that I've heard people talk about that.
Yeah.
And then I also, on the outro, like, hey, what can you say? We were overdue, but it'll be over soon. It's almost like it's very pessimistic, but it's also apathetic. But it's hard to hold both at one time, because apathy, you can't be negative or positive. You have no feeling. You have no emotion about it one way or the other. But it's like, what, you know, what can you say? We were overdue, but it'll be over soon. I just, to me, it's almost like a love song to, like, being trapped in your own mind. Like, a love song to your own imagination or your own personality, your own bias, and then just being like, you know, something to be said for being like raising your hand and be like, well, I knew I knew that all this was wrong, and you know, in a way, I'm brave enough to admit I could have done more, but I tried some things, you know. I don't know, I think it is a parody, but I just don't know enough about his songwriting process to know why this song turned out the way it turned out.
Yeah.
You know, like, he could have done it so many other ways, I think. But, you know, who knows? But I just think the way he approaches the chorus, the way he sings it, the tempo and the instrumentation, I think it's a love song overall. But I am kind of struggling exactly to put my finger on what, because I don't know what I said about being comfortable in your discomfort, or being just, I don't know, maybe he's familiar. Maybe he's always known that he was critical of stuff and different, or wanted more or something. Maybe even that, maybe it's that simple of like, as a kid, I knew I wanted more than just like breakfast cereal and like cartoons and whatever else all my other friends wanted, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Monday night sports, Tuesday night dramas, Wednesday night reality shows. Like, I just was like, I mean, I don't know, but overall, I think it's a love song.
Cool. Like an accept, like being able to appreciate seeing that it's phony, maybe.
Yeah, like, maybe so. Yeah.
Cool. I like that.
Well, thank you.
I find this is where we differ often, is where, like, a song will sound like a ballad, and you know, certainly most of those I would think are love songs, but there's certain topics and struggles that for me, just the like subject matter is reason enough to make a conflict enough, I think. It's interesting, but
yeah.
We'd love to hear what y'all think.
Mm-hmm. We definitely would. And happy new year, and hopefully this is like a nice ending to a holiday season. I hope it's, you know, better.
Yeah, certainly. And thank y'all so much for listening. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year.
We'll talk to y'all again next week.